know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, BJ Armstrong. BJ, it's Friday. How you feeling?
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, Mo. Beautiful. It's Friday. Your Celtics got a nice win against the Phoenix Suns, so you're doing good.
Uncle Al came to life. He's gearing up for the playoffs, knocking down all those threes. Great win.
Very nice win for your Celtics.
It was absolutely fantastic. You know, I saw, who was on the Nuggets? Was it KCP who said that a healthy Phoenix squad is their biggest fear in the playoffs? Well, not their biggest fear, but the team most likely to take out the Nuggets. So if we're doing that to them, to the Phoenix Suns, then I'm not mad at it. But it's Friday, so we've not done this in a little bit. But BJ, we got some questions.
Okay.
The first one comes in. Mojo Jojo says, can you talk about Luka's six consecutive 30-point triple-doubles? You don't want to start, BJ, talking about Luka Doncic. And Luka is out now with a hamstring injury. He's not playing tonight against OKC. And I don't know if he'll be playing on Sunday. But on Sunday, you'll be able to see me
play. Yeah, I don't know what else is... I don't know really what else there is to say about Luka.
We're not going down this rabbit hole.
I don't know what else to say with his offensive output.
Sensational. That's, well done.
Yes. Okay. Well, now, what else do you want to say? You want to just say what does he have? Six? Does he have six triple doubles now?
Is that what he's got? Triple doubles. Let's get us six wins in a row. How about that? Instead of going 3-3, give me six wins. I'd rather that.
Yeah. And so I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think we all agree he is an elite offensive player. Now let's figure out what we're going to do as far as how that's going to translate to winning. So
yeah. Oh, Sunday's game. Luka might not play, but you'll see me if you tune into BBC. You know, they had your guys complaints about the coverage so far, so they had to call the big dog.
Okay.
You'll see me back on your screens. And I told them we need to get BJ too. They said, stay tuned for the playoffs. Maybe we can get some cooking. So make sure you guys tune in. Show some love on social media so they know they're doing the right thing now. But the next question comes in from AG. He says, is Jason Tatum overrated? And Mo isn't allowed to answer. So, BJ, this one's all yours.
Well, I don't know what else this young man is supposed to do. Yeah. So he's overrated. Like, he's first team all NBA. he gets to the NBA finals by, what, age 25 or so?
23.
Yeah.
23, 24,
yep. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the premier players. He's two, three, four-time All-Star now. What else you want? Like, overrated how? Like, you know, please clarify. But in my book, he is one of the top – I'm just going to be conservative here. He's one of the top 10 players in the NBA. Arguably, he's in the top – I'm going to say he's top seven for sure. Like, you can argue top five or whatever, wherever you got. But he's somewhere in there. He's an elite offensive player, terrific defensive player, and his – game just continues to grow and it translates to winning basketball. So I just think he's a superb basketball player. And with his age, you know, he is just fantastic. So I don't see where the overrated comes at. And he's doing it in Boston. He's doing it in a major city.
You know,
so yeah. So, you know, I don't see that at all.
Yeah. Matt McD4 says, do you think OKC have the brightest future next year in the NBA? They've got young superstar SGA given MVP numbers and draft picks to trade for a couple of vet leaders to guide these young guys playing exciting ball. I think out of all the teams in the NBA, the Spurs have the brightest future because they have Wembanyama. OKC is great that you have Chet, you have SGA, you have Williams, you have a whole squad there, right? But at some point, you're going to have to pay these guys. And we've seen this story before in Oklahoma City, where they drafted three MVPs. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka, who was at his peak one of the best defenders in the entire NBA. And they showed that the ownership group there is not willing to spend to keep all four guys, so they had to sacrifice James Harden. And that team never really reached the ceiling of winning a championship, and if they kept Harden, I think they would. So until I see the OKC ownership group say that they are willing to invest and pay the price for having such a great squad, because bear in mind, most of these guys are on their rookie contracts and they're all going to need to get paid within the space of a year, 2 years, 3 years. it's going to be tough financially in a small market like Oklahoma City, unless ownership is willing to eat some luxury tax and pay all of those guys. What do you think though, BJ?
Well, you know, I think what we're all saying, let's say what the elephant in the room is. When you say a bright future, what do we think their chances are winning an NBA championship?
Mm-hmm.
And with that assumption, based on they have an all NBA player, a player who probably should be in the top two or three for MVP this year.
Absolutely.
Now we're talking about expectations. The team as is, I don't think they are a championship caliber team as is. That's not to say that they won't make a move. That's not to say one of those players may develop, meaning they need a player up front. I think their guards with Williams and Alexander, I think, and Shea, I mean, those are multi-year all-stars for many years to come.
I also think Lu Dort is a perfect role player on their team.
I think Lu Dort is a terrific role player. However, Lu Dort as a starter makes them a very small team. Okay? That's just my opinion.
Yeah, if he's starting at a three, that does make them smaller.
If you're going to start Shea as the lead guard with the kid, is it Jalen?
Jalen Williams is starting at the four for them.
Yes. So,
and the other Jalen one is Jalen, but with an IN at the end, and he comes off the bench. Okay.
Well, Jalen Williams, I think, is a two.
And they play him at the four.
And they play him at the four. I think he's a two. Great size as a two guard. Shea Alexander as a point guard, terrific size. And if you put Chet at the four, now you have a very big team. And then you add to that. That's just my opinion here. Now, do I think they have potential to compete for a championship? Absolutely. However, the big task at hand is what is the management going to do? And I agree with what you said. Who are you going to pay? Because you can't pay everyone here. So to me, their greatest asset, their superpower, is they have length and versatility. Chet is 7'3" or whatever he is. Shea is a great size for the point guard position. And Jalen Williams, I think, is terrific as the size. So I think if you play those guys and say, I'm going to build around size and length, I think now you have a team that has an advantage, an unfair advantage, mm-hmm. because of the size and length. Now, I think with that, and then you build around that, you put some size and girth in there, you put some athletic ability in there, I think you have a chance. You have an opportunity to play because you'll have an advantage on most teams. But more importantly, you should be able to defend all five positions with those three guys as your core guys. That's just how I see it. I like their team, but as is, I don't think this team is capable, as is, and not to say that they won't, they're capable of winning a championship if they just left the team what we're currently seeing.
Now, Louis True 21 is one of the biggest Miami Heat fans in our Discord server. And by the way, if you guys want your questions answered, join the Discord linked below in the description. Louis says, how badly will the Celtics whoop the Heat in the first round? Because that's how it's looking at the moment, unfortunately. I mean, we spoke a little bit about playoff matchups yesterday. And for Miami's so interesting because, BJ, we watched the Heat and the Nuggets the other day, a regular season game. Jimmy Butler did not look anything like the Jimmy Butler you would see if that happened to be a playoff game. And mm-hmm. it just fascinates me how, you know, you always say you can't flip the switch, but Jimmy Butler seems to think that he will be able to.
Jimmy Butler right now, look, he's a prime time performer. He's a big time performer. We know that. No question here. However, I'm a little concerned with their team. I'm concerned with their roster. I'm concerned with their depth. You know, Rozier hasn't, you know, he is a really good player, but it hasn't worked out like I thought it was going to work out when they traded for him.
Mm.
You know, anytime you play with fire, at some point you're going to get burned. I think right now the Miami Heat are playing with fire. They continue to always play from behind. They come back, they do things, and we go, well, how did they get here? You know, they overachieve time and time again. At some point, it's going to catch up with them. I would tend to think, just by looking at this roster, that this may be the year where we can finally say, you know what, Miami probably needs to do something in the offseason that's going to give them a little boost in the arm, because they can't keep playing from behind all the time. You know, they kind of coast through the regular season, and then they somehow, miraculously, they play and they get to the NBA Finals. But I don't see that this year. I'm kind of like, this may be, maybe they got one more run in them, but I think it's very hard. They make it really hard on themselves the way they play. I think the Boston Celtics are experienced enough this year. I think they will be a tough out no matter what, but especially at home. And they're very talented, talking about your Celtics. So I don't see the Miami Heat overcoming that this year.
And Tyler Herro is out indefinitely. So there's as well.
What happened?
I don't know. All I heard was he's out indefinitely. So we're going to have to stay tuned. It's he hasn't traveled with the team to Detroit, and they haven't given any updates on what the injury is, unless someone can let us know, hit us on social media. The next question is from Pierce McGlinchey, who says, what part of his game does Jalen Green need to improve to reach that superstar level?
Jalen Green from the
Houston Rockets.
What part of his game? Well, you know, that's a tough question. You know, you say, what part of his game does he need to improve? Well, a part of the game that needs to improve for every player is, how do you contribute to their bottom line, which is winning? Like, you start to win, I think he gets a lot of that credit because of what he can do and what he can bring. You know, defensively, I think he could be an outstanding player because of his athletic ability. I think he's getting excellent coaching. Without question, he is he really is some type of, he's a high wire act. I mean, he's put some dunks in this year, Mo, that you really had to like take a second look at.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an exciting player. But I think with every great player, what will propel them to the next level? Just win.
I think his playmaking could do with some work as well. Because if you look at all the assists he gets, most of them are just Sengun finishing the pick and roll, or it's literally just passing laterally along the wing. There's not a lot of, if he's driving, well, the defense can focus on his drive.
How many playmakers are there in the NBA now? I mean, I don't think there are a lot of playmakers now. Like, that part of the game is really, really.
But if you want to become an all-round player, right? If you want to become an all-round complete player, you've got to be able to make those. So when he's driving, the defense is focused because they know he's going to try score, because they're not worried about him making the kick out. So they can stay home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you may be right. I mean, maybe that's how guys are defending. But the way I see the game is, I only see three things happening on the floor, on the offensive end. You shoot a three, you drive to the basket, and you try to get fouled to get to the free throw line. I don't see anything else happening. Like, I don't see that many players that have the capability to take two or three dribbles and then pass once they see the defense collapse. I mean, that's reserved for like really elite players. Like Jokic can do that.
Well, congratulations, you know, Jason Tatum. Congratulations to Jalen Green. This week, the 22-year-old Jalen Green announced that he's expecting a baby with the 39-year-old Drea Michelle, I think is her name. So he's going to have to improve and keep getting those NBA contracts, because that's 18 years. Well, it's Kanye West. So moving on. Tanya Wakane says, when is the man of the people, BJ, coming to the UK for some in-person podcasts?
Man, you guys got to get me there. How can I get there? Well,
We're working on something. Don't worry. This summer, stay tuned. He also says, will you guys be streaming an alternate stream for the Pistons game, watching Scott get honored? As I said earlier, I'll be doing TV this Sunday, so we won't be. But next week, we could very well do a stream. Just keep showing it love, social media. Let everyone know how much you love to watch alongs. And maybe get a little sponsor. Maybe we keep these things rolling. Freddie K, 2805, wants to know, what's the ceiling for Orlando in the postseason, BJ? Are they capable of a first-round upset?
Well, everyone's capable. Now, you know, the big theme, Mo, is as much as I think we both like this team and we're rooting for this team, it's always about matchups and who they're going to play against.
Most likely it'll be the Knicks in a 4-5 matchup. If things hold, I don't really see the Sixers, unless they're getting beat back, or the Pacers making a leap, or the Heat, the way they've been playing, they've lost four straight. I don't see them making a leap. So I think the 4-5 matchup will be Miami, Orlando, New York.
So I think this team, as is right now, talking about the Orlando Magic, I think they are ahead of schedule. I don't think at the beginning of the season they thought they were going to be in the fifth seed this late in the season.
Mm.
They're playing meaningful games, and all of their young players have improved from a year ago. So I think, check, they've already won, and they're beyond where they thought they were going to be. If you know, you put it on, you know, if the executives say what they thought this team could be, you know, if they got to the playoffs in the play-in and so forth, I think that would have been more kind of a goal that they thought was attainable. But this team has improved. They've played. Paolo has become an all-star in year two. Do I think they're capable? Yes. However, if they're playing against the New York Knicks, and the New York Knicks are healthy, I don't think they can beat the New York Knicks in the first round.
I think finishing as a top five seed is a fantastic season for Orlando. Yeah, they should be very, very pleased.
Now, next year is when I expect them to take all of the experiences that they've had over the last 2 years, get through a regular season again next year, get to the playoffs, and then I think next year they'll be ready to take that step.
Mm.
But this year, I think it's been terrific for them to be playing for, you know, games that count for this young group and to get this experience. So I don't think they can beat the Knicks if that's who they're playing in the first round.
The next question is from Patty 9547, who says, what in your opinions are the worst matchups for Denver and Boston? It seems like only an injury would stop those two from getting to the NBA finals. So can we have one team in the West and one team in the East that would be the worst or the hardest matchups for the Denver Nuggets and for the Boston Celtics?
Well, for Denver, I think it's going to be the Clippers because of the contrast of styles. I mean, the Clippers are deep. They're athletic. They have a number of positionless players, and they have enough players that can score at all five positions. I mean, they could go small. You know, they can go fairly big enough by today's standard. But more importantly, they have enough wing players to throw at Jamal Murray. I mean, they have a plethora of wings. They have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. You know, the list goes on and on who they could just throw, you know, fresh bodies at Jamal Murray. Now, no one's going to stop Jokic. However, I think that's going to be a tough match. I think that can be, has the potential to be a tough matchup. For the Celtics, you know, it's hard to say. You know, they're not healthy. You know, if Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle and these guys, I would really say the Knicks probably, they have enough size and athletic ability to match up. They would pose some problems for the Celtics. You know, Julius Randle in that series will probably be the most physical player in the interior. Okay. The Celtics, you know, they have size, you know, Porzingis, but, you know, Mitchell Robinson should be able to, at the very least, match his athletic ability. And then now you start getting to the guards and all those other things. So it would be interesting. Now, Jason Tatum clearly would be, you know, he'll be the best player on the perimeter. But that doesn't mean that Hart and DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson, these guys are going to, they're more than formidable as an opponent and what they're capable of doing. And we know they play a style that, you know, could bother the Celtics a little bit. They're going to be a little physical. That could bother them. And so I think probably the Knicks, the size of the Cleveland Cavaliers could pose some problems. You know, they're one team that's just as tall or just as big lengthwise as the Celtics. I think those two teams probably could pose us some problems right now. But if you're saying right now, I would probably say Cleveland because they're healthier. You know, Donovan Mitchell and those guys. So I think probably Cleveland and the Clippers.
Okay. Very interesting. Because, of course, I mentioned at the start, the Nuggets seed their biggest opponents or the worst matchup for them being the Phoenix Suns. So that's an interesting point. For the Celtics, I think, yeah, healthy Knicks team. A healthy New Orleans team, yes. That's a problem.
Yes, that's a problem. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And also Caris LeVert just has a weird way of always playing well against the Celtics. So he's on the Cavs, so there's that. Sean C. has a question about the Cavaliers. He says, why have the Cavs moved away from playing Donovan Mitchell at the one when they clearly look better with him there? Yes, Sean, we know you're locked into the podcast. He says, did they miss a trick not trading Darius Garland for some depth to have a real go at a weaker Eastern Conference this year?
Well, I think that's a tricky situation, because if you were to trade Darius Garland, you have to know that you're going to keep Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And Donovan Mitchell, I'm not sure what he's going to do there. I think he's a free agent.
He has a contract this year, next year, and then a player option, which he probably won't take if there's a new TV deal in place. So basically next year, he could be an expiring contract. And if he decides to leave town and you've traded Darius Garland, then boy, you are in trouble.
Yeah, so I think it gets a little tricky here. But as you guys know who listen, I like Donovan at the point guard position. I always have. I think he is a major problem there. Darius Garland is an all-star caliber player. I think he was an all-star, you know, just a couple years ago. But that's a good question. I have no idea. But, I mean, I think injuries and, you know, those guys know the team better than we do. But I would love to see Donovan as the lead guard for a team because of his size. I just think he is a unique player that – would pose a lot of problems for opposing teams starting lead guards.
The final question comes in from Matt McD, number four again. He says, who do you think will win the most improved player award and why is it Derek White? I don't think Derek White will win it. I don't think he's even in the conversation for winning it because I think he was fantastic last season. Obviously, he's got a bigger role now. The most improved player, I don't really like that award. I remember when they gave it to Ja Morant, I'm like, they're giving it to guys now who are in like their second year making a leap. That's expected of them anyway. There's a number of names. You know, Maxey is in the mix. Şengün's in the mix. Jalen Johnson from Atlanta. That was very strong all season. I think for me, though, Coby White has really impressed me and improved a lot because I did not expect after Zach LaVine went out him to step up in the way that he did. And he played some fantastic basketball. Who you got, BJ?
That's a good name. You know, I got to give Coby White credit. And I want to give him credit because he's really stepped up his game. However, when you say most improved, this kid, Şengün, to me, he, you know, just in talking around the league and players, you know, you can really see people think that he may be an all-star caliber player. I think he took a big step. I think he's really improved under Coach Udoka. And I'm going to be fascinated to see kind of how his career path goes. Because this year, he really caught my attention. And he didn't do this some of the time. He was pretty consistent about his production prior to this injury of what he was doing. And you know what I like most is when young teams start playing games and they start winning. And he's a big contributor. And he's a big reason why. So if you were to ask me, who do I think, I think Coby White should be get some consideration. But Şengün really stood out to me this year as far as a player who, you know, he's coming off the bench some, started some. But all of a sudden, he made a step this year. And I thought he made a major step in a major way.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times with this award, it's more down to opportunities, right? Because under the previous coach in Houston, he just wasn't getting the opportunities. And Ime Udoka came in and recognized his talent. And now he's finally being able to show the talent I've been telling everyone about for years now. So shout out to them. There's a whole bunch of guys that could win it in the NBA. But it's a very tough award to judge. And Derek White, as Matt suggested, has been fantastic. But I don't think he's in that consideration. Considering, you know, he hit a buzzer-beating shot in, what, Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people are going to think about him for that award. But those are the questions for this week, BJ. Fantastic week.
Well, it's a great week. And I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yes, sir.
Seeing you on television this Sunday. I mean, hey, man. You got to get everything. Yeah, you got to get fresh cut. I was thinking you got to get shaped up a little bit.
Hell yeah.
And
get beard shaped up as well. Get a fresh fit.
Yeah, get it done. Get it done. Get it done. Yeah, man.
You know the vibes. But anyway, we appreciate you guys rocking with us. Thanks to everyone who sent in their questions. If you want your questions answered, join the Discord. It's linked below in the description. BJ, appreciate you as always. We'll be back next week. And most importantly, make sure you follow the show, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get it from. And until next time, get buckets.